patience. He's such a hunk. And so you're so excited. And then he sits all day and watch rugby and he doesn't talk to you and he's no romance anymore. And what happened to the guy I fell in love with? Yeah, so it so easily happens. And so I'm trusting that some of this will help a little bit of heaven on earth. It's scary how two people who were madly in love with one another can become bitter enemies that even despise and hate one another in a relatively short time. And why does it happen? But it so easily happens. But I don't want that to happen anymore. Not in this church. God is wanting us to have great marriages. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. I'm just giving a quick introduction, then we're going to get to the good stuff. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. It says, husbands, say husbands. All the husbands say husbands. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding. And then our response is, you must be kidding me. With understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I think that's so beautiful. Heirs together of the grace of life. It's like God gives us a gift, but then he says, this gift is not just for one of you, it's for the two of you. You together, I bless you with an opportunity to enjoy life. And to enjoy a journey. You see, life is a journey. So you're walking on this journey, and I found that it's so much better to actually share the journey with somebody. So all the single people, and it's very dangerous to preach about these things because we're going to do lots of counseling in the weeks to come. But stance there. But there's this journey of life. And for me and my wife, we've been now married for 8 years. Not long, I know. But it's been the best 8 years of my life. It's been amazing. It's been special. Sonika, she says, Sonskane in my liver. Even her name says that. Sonskane, Sonika. And she, you know, she's my best friend. I'd rather spend time with her than anybody else on this earth. You know, and God doesn't want us, when we get married, to live past one another. He wants us to be best friends because he wants us to enjoy that journey together. And you see, what I've realized is that I would have messed up badly, terribly. I would have messed up this marriage if it wasn't for God's help. Now, the past few weeks, I've shared a little bit about my past, but I had a really messy past before I came to know God. And I would have messed this thing up because I'm selfish. I know all of you, you know, when people sit there, they just look at you. They look so holy and perfect. So you're all holy and perfect. But me, I'm selfish, you know. And I need help. I need help to do things for my wife sometimes, you know, because I get involved in my own world. But we are heirs together of the grace of life. And I want to share a little bit about our journey. And I want to share a few principles that I believe God has taught me through this short journey that we have had. Now, I must warn you, our journey is unique. It's different. Nobody's journey is the same. So you can't say it worked for Andre like that, so it must work in the same way. I'm talking about the way we met one another, the way we connected. It's different. It's unique. So I'm just, as that's a please don't do this at home type of thing. Yeah, you'll see in a moment why. But sort of the overarching principle that I have learned and I live by. I've decided that if my wife ever leaves me, I'm leaving with her. Because I can't do this thing alone. And I really need her. Okay, so I want to share five principles. They all start with the power of. So it's the five principles to have a heavenly partnership. Okay, the first one is the power of purpose. The power of purpose. When I was a student, I was 19 years old, and I came out of a sort of a relationship a few months, 4 or 5 months before. And that evening, we went to Sonica's 21st party, birthday party. And she's about 2 years older, a year and a half, 2 years older. And so I just met her a few months before, and we went to the birthday party, and we drove back, me and two other guys. They were a little bit older. They were 21, 22. And we're driving back, and we were like this frustration in our hearts. We are like this old, and we don't know yet who our marriage partner is. God, this is unacceptable. I am 19. It is time. You know, when you're like 19, you're very serious about yourself. And so we parked outside of one of the hostels at the university. And so we stopped and said, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God, because God speaks. We've read in the Bible. He speaks to his people. So we're going to pray and God is going to speak to us. So we stopped, we parked, and we prayed. We prayed like it's really a fleshly, like really in the flesh prayers, like short. It's like, God, who is our marriage partner? Amen. And so we looked at one another and we said, okay, guys, who's your marriage partner? The one guy said, no, he thinks that one. And so we cracked up laughing. You're aiming too high, brother. Let it go. And so the other guy, he said, no, it must be one of these three. The most beautiful girls in the church, one of these three. In the end, he didn't marry one of them. He has a few children by now. He didn't marry one of them. And they came to me and I said, no, I think Sonica. And they laughed at me. No, she's too old for you. No ways. Forget it. But something in my heart, even when I was 19, something was tugging in my heart, pointing me into a direction. And what I've come to find is that the power of purpose. When God brings somebody or a couple together for a reason, there's something that happens. Without purpose, life has no heart. Without purpose, if you don't know why you are here, it has no heart. It gets boring just to spend all of time and on yourself and waste it on yourself. Marriage will lack passion. It will stagnate if there's not some form of purpose. We're doing something together. Now, there are many different things that you can do together. Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28 in the New Living Translation. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds, the animals, etc., etc. Everything that God does has purpose. So he made a man and he made a woman and he said, you two together for a reason. Then he says, why? Number one, children. That's a good purpose to raise up your children, to look after them. I mean, that's a godly purpose. And when a couple actually focuses on that, they have a sense of purpose, which is great. But it says more than that. Fill the earth and govern it. And that govern speaks to me of godly children, godly offspring, not just children. And then it says reign over the fish in the sea. And he didn't tell Adam, you on your own, reign, and woman, you, children at home, that's all. No, he didn't say that. He said, the two of you, together, go and conquer. And I'm going to share a few things along these lines where God has ordained the couple together to make a success. I have learned that alone you can achieve very little, but together you can achieve so much. So it's much more than just having some fun. He didn't just say go and multiply, which is fun, until the baby comes. And then, I know, I can talk about it, I know, 10 weeks, we're still standing. But he's saying together you can accomplish. But there's a progression that I believe happens in our lives as individuals. That's how it worked with me. I started off with me, I was just me. And then it was Sonica and me, and then it was we. And there must be another progression there, it must become he. That's the challenge, to take it to another level where the marriage, the relationship brings glory to God and is a light to the people around us. Now, in that marriage preparation course or marriage enrichment course, they speak about I marriage. If you want to slaughter your marriage, have an I in the marriage, me and myself. And that's a challenge to break out of that. But if you lock into purpose, it transforms a relationship. It transforms your life as an individual. If you find purpose, I spoke about that about a month ago, living a life of purpose. If you lock into purpose, it transforms, it unites. But so much more when two people lock into purpose. Vasonic and me, we have a purpose for the church. We want to see lives changed for the better. And it unites us. It makes us one. And so you often find that the couple that works together at the corner store, they usually have a great marriage. Hey, look at Len and Karen, you know, working together at Lavender Blue. You know, they've got a great marriage, but they're working together. They've got purpose together. That's good. But you can go look for things where you can have purpose together. You can go search for it. You can ask for it, you know. And so for the single people, it's not just marrying another believer. As a minimum, you should marry another believer if you're a believer. But it's marrying somebody who's got the same vision or same passion as you. Okay, we're talking about a great marriage. You can still have a good marriage, but I'm talking about a great marriage. So it doesn't help if you've got a vision to go into for missions into Africa. You want to have your own mud hut and your squeeze loves five-star hotels. That's roughing for her. I mean, that's really going camping. You know, that's going to struggle. So think again. But for the married, seek a combined purpose. Practical things. Do things together that both of you enjoy. Okay, that's a good start. But if you don't find anything like that, take it to another level. Sacrifice. One of the two must sacrifice. For instance, if your husband really loves sport and it freaks you out, he's not going to change. He likes sport. So why not learn something about sport and know who's bowling now? Ooh, that was a good ball. And your husband like, what is it with this woman? But immediately he feels like he feels respected. His wife, actually, she's interested in what he is doing. And it goes the other way as well. You know, guys, you must go to the theater or do things that she enjoys as well. But you need to sacrifice to learn to enjoy something together. So what I've learned is that you need to appreciate the differences. Appreciate the differences and value the difference between a man and woman. Did you guys know that a man is different to a woman? You have noticed. It is true. It is true. Girls don't do that. But boys would. Okay, so that's the first one. Power of purpose. The second one, the power of a promise. Okay, now this is going with a little bit different. Sonika, about a month before we met one another, she had a friend in the hostel with her, and this friend, who's a believer, came to her and gave her a scripture out of the Bible and saying, it was the scripture about Samuel the prophet anointing David as king. And then the seven brothers came by, and then God told Samuel, no, it's not one of them. It is the eighth one. It is David. So Sonika received a word that says basically, Sonika, seven guys are going to come to you. It's not them. It's number eight. Okay, now that's out of the ordinary. But that's the word she received, and it worked out exactly like that. Seven guys were interested in her, and that she battered them to kingdom come. Hallelujah. And she waited for the best. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 15, verses 5 to 6. Something about a promise. I want to share something about a promise here. God speaks to Abram. He's old. His wife is old. They don't have any children. And so God speaks to Abram to tell him he's going to have a son. And in verse 5 it says, then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. So he took him like outside. He said, Abram, look up. Look at the stars. Your descendants. Then he goes on to say, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So what happened is God gave Abram a promise, and he held on to that promise until it came to pass. So there are three things that a promise does. You need this, for your marriage. I found that if you want to have a great marriage, you need to have a promise, because a promise motivates you. It causes you to focus. I'll explain in a moment what this actually on a practical level means. But it helps you to be motivated. It motivates you to focus on this purpose. The second thing it does, it encourages you in bad times. I've often found that when people go through a difficult time in their marriage, then they start doubting, well, were we meant to be together? You see, but I have a promise in my heart. I'll share that later as well. How God spoke to me about Sonic and me should be together. So if we're going through a difficult time, I'm not wondering, is this supposed to be? I know it's supposed to be. I must just sort out, how is this going to work? So you need a promise. Something simple in your heart, because it encourages during tough times. The third thing, it gives you a point of faith for your prayers. Now you can pray. Abram could pray, God, give me a son. And it was so. Now, when I was about 6 months after I became a believer, I went on a holiday outreach with Sonica. I met her there. And so we were doing an outreach to young people. But I was really, really messed up. I was really messing up the whole time. I was dating the cook. And then I wasn't dating her anymore. And so I couldn't go into the kitchen anymore because she would kill me. I mean, she had a thing in her hand, you know. So Sonica would stand in for me and do my cooking duty schedules and things, you know. So it started really well. And as a joke. And but she has been serving God for many, many years, since she was very small. And as she was looking at me and saying, "Yuck, this guy is really messing up the whole time," I had to apologize to the team the whole time for what I was doing. And then she just felt the Holy Spirit whispering in her heart, telling her, give him time. And she didn't know where this would be going. But give him time, because he would change. But what I've learned is, and this has transformed our marriage, even before we were married, get a dream about your spouse. Get a dream about the person in your life. Because the dream is not where it is now. The dream is many years in the future. But if you know where you are going, then you don't worry so much about the in-between, because you have hope for the future. So get a dream from God for your spouse, for your relationship, for your marriage. I've received so many times in my life when originally with Sonica, I mean, you wouldn't have thought that she would be preaching today. You wouldn't have thought that all these things would be happening in her life. But I had a dream in my heart. I believed in her. Other people didn't, but I believed in her. I knew that she's going to do great things. I could see it. So between me and God, we like creating an environment within which she can prosper, where she can become herself, whom God has destined her to be. But it's beautiful, because when the other person is not living up to the dream, you're not really worried. Because you know we're going somewhere. We're going to that dream. I've come to know this principle. What you see now is not what you are going to get. And, you know, my mom would often speak about that. You know, when that man gets old, he's going to be like a big belly and he's going to this and that. And what you see now is not what you're going to get. But what I've learned is that our eyes are deceiving. I'm speaking to the single people now first. Your eyes are deceiving. So you could look at somebody at somebody's face value and see one thing. But if you would look with the eyes of your heart, if you'd listen to what God is whispering in your ear, you'd see something totally different. And you will miss maybe the greatest opportunity of your life because you are looking at somebody through the wrong eyes. I've seen it. I've seen ladies who maybe weren't that, didn't look so pretty or so, get so much attention as some of the other guys. And I look at them 10 years later and everybody's now, the heads are turning. Whoa. You know, so you must look with the eyes of your heart. Now with Sonica, she was always pretty. But man, now she's gorgeous. Maybe I'm just more in love. I don't know. But, I mean, it's like she's radiating more and more and more as she's getting older. But that is what God wants. He wants us to radiate, to live. So don't wait for the perfect person, all you single people. Don't wait for the perfect person. Otherwise, you will just mess it up. Look with the eyes of your heart. And for our married people as well, get a dream. Get a promise. As I was meditating in this week, again, I was reminded of so many things about my wife. And I just get so excited. I start valuing things that I so see for granted. Okay, so that's a power, the power of a promise. I'm storming through it. There's so many things you can go into. And third one, the power of perfected praise. Now, before Sonic and I, when the three of us were praying together in the car, and I felt Sonic, it was about a year and a half later, I was staying with my roommate, and I'm telling my roommate, I know Sonic is my wife. I know it. I feel it definitely. It was like a second confirmation thing. I don't know how to explain it, but I just knew it. So she invited me to a dance. And it was an autumn dance. And at that time, she had batted number 7. And this number 7 was one of my best friends. And I was in love with her. In a sense, I was had these feelings for her, but I felt it's not going to work or something. So I encouraged number 7 to go for it. Because I wanted her to have the best. And I felt he was a good guy. So I encouraged him. Anyway, so she batted number 7. And then we were at this dance. And halfway through the evening, she spoke to me and said, it's so wonderful to come with you to this dance. Because I know you will never, she basically didn't say it like that, but it came down to you would never make a move. You know, you're a safe option. You're a nice friend. Oh, that's the worst thing you can tell a guy who's been in the week saying, she's my wife, I know it, I'm going to marry this girl, you know. Oh, so I was depressed. I was upset. I was angry. So I told her, Sonica, I'd like to take you outside. So I took her outside the hostel, and I said, I want to pray for you. Deeply spiritual, because I'm not handing this woman thing over forever and ever. I'm like not tired. It's like messing up my emotions, and so I put my hand on her and I prayed for her husband and I released her unto God. I said, Lord, take her, because I'm not interested. She's messing up my life, and so I made a commitment. Said, God, 10 years, no women, just you and me, Lord. Just Paulus, you know, Paul the apostle. Me and God, you know, because ladies, they confuse, they mess with my head. And so the process continued. I'm going to continue that story a bit later. Matthew 21, verse 16, the power of perfected praise. And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. It's like this little boy that came to dance here. It's just so innocent, so real, from the heart. And so God says, come like a child. Come like a child. But what I realize, what this is saying in terms of our relationships, it is saying, become the same. Have you ever seen a young child? It's like everything they do is like for the first time. It's like a baby looking at his hand. Ooh, my hand, wow. Yeah, it's like for the first time. Tomorrow again, ooh, my hand, wow. And God is wanting us to do the same. Think back, especially for all the married people now. Your first time experiences with your spouse. The first time you took his or her hand. Remember that moment. Was it special? Man, it was amazing. It was amazing, it was special, it was wow. But the key to have a great marriage is to have that experience every day of your life. Every day of your life. You touch her hand, you say, yes, Lord, wow, this is my wife. She is special, she's valuable, she is wonderful, she is your gift to me. Now, you need some help from above to do this. You know, because it's so easy to get used to one another and not value anymore. But the power of perfected praise is to have that first time experience every day. And then to take it one step further and to start speaking that praise over your spouse. Saying, you're the best. you're the best. I'm speaking to my boy every day. You're the best, my boy. You're the best. Jy is die slimste en die sterkste, want jou pa sê so. But it should be with our spouses as well. With the person in your life. Do the same. Speak life. Make a choice. Make a decision. Lead your heart where it should go. Lead your heart where it should go. So often we want our hearts to tell us where it should go. No, you tell. David often said, he spoke to his soul and said, my soul, be quiet. Now tell your soul, my soul, your wife is the most beautiful in the whole world. No model will come close. She's the best. She is the best. And I can honestly say, honestly, objectively, my wife is the best woman in the whole world for me. Qualify. For me. And your wife or your husband is the best in the world for you. It's a decision. But start speaking it. Start believing it. And take it to God and say, God, help me. Let it be so. Let it be so. So having first time experience. My wife, she's a package deal. It's like everything together. I'm going to bore you if I go on. Okay. But it does something to me. And it will do something to you if you start looking at your spouse or loved one in that way. Now if you look at Adam and Eve, when God made, you know, Adam did this. He did this perfected praise thing. And it's in the Bible. When God made Eve, God brought him before Adam, and Adam's response was, wow, man, woman, wow, man. You didn't get it. That's the word woman. Wow. They wrote it wrong in the Bible. It's actually wow, man, now it's woman. Okay? They are amazing. They are amazing. So a practical thing that you can do if you're in a relationship. Write down. Sonic and I do this every now and again. At least on our anniversary, we try to do this. We go on our own and we write down like a page of 50 things or more that I like about her. And then we have a wonderful dinner, romantic candle thingy. And then we take out. And then I always have more on the list than she. You know, the guy must win. So then you go through each one of those things and you tell her, this is what I like. When you do this, I love that. You know, when you touch, okay, don't worry. Touch my back, it's wonderful. But write it down. It does something to your heart. Why settle for a good marriage if you can have a great marriage? Okay, so that's the third one, the power of perfected praise. Then the fourth one, the power of partnership. Now, my wife, Sonica, she understands this, the power of partnership. She's always said, she's decided from the beginning that we are a team. So we always tell that to one another, we are a team. So there were these times in my life where I went a little bit haywire. Not badly, but a little bit, just a little bit off the rocker. Did silly things. Like the one time I was upset about something, so I told her, Sonica, we are now going to fast for 7 days. And she said, okay. That's amazing. We were just dating, you know, but she said, for the sake of our relationship, I think you're being silly, to be quite honest, but for the sake of our relationship, I'm going to stand with you. Even when you are wrong, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to do it. And that meant so much to me. Genesis 2, verse 24, the power of partnership. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. United into one. They become one, like a team. It's changed from me and me to we, us, together. And that's what Sonic and I have we've decided from the beginning. We fight together against the world, not against one another. Because that's what happens. Within the marriage, you start, the other person becomes the enemy. It shouldn't be. You must make a decision, say, no, we will stand together against the world out there. Never choose another person's opinion over your husband's or your wife's. Never. Not your mother-in-law, father-in-law, parents, business partners, doesn't matter. Never. It happened to my dad and mom. They were divorced when I was grade 6. And they, my dad once told me this, years later. They were at a restaurant, and some big CEOs were there, and my dad was like hosting this. He was an up-and-coming businessman. He was hosting these people. And then my mom, she's a language specialist. She's the editor of a newspaper. And they were speaking English, and then at some point my dad said something that wasn't quite grammatically correct. So she corrected my dad in front of everybody. Now you think, oh, come on, don't be so petty, that's nothing. But it was like taking a knife and sticking it into my father's insides. It hurt him. The one that was supposed to praise him and encourage him and say, you go, was the one that broke him down the whole time. So my dad told me then when they were driving home, he was screaming at my mom all the way home. And he doesn't know why, but he was just angry. Because he was disrespected. You want to offend a man, you disrespect him. Honor. Respect. It's not, I'm not going to go into details. Sonika will speak more about that next week. She'll explain some things there. But never humiliate your partner. Make a decision. Even if they are wrong, you back them. We win together and we lose together. And then sometimes money is an issue. Now you don't need to do it like this, but this is how we do it. And I found this works wonderfully. We are one. So our money is our money. It's not her money and my money. It's us. One pool of money. They say one of the major reasons why divorce happens is because of financial reasons. And I must say, it works if you're married to a chartered accountant. And you're working for the church. So thank you, Lord, for such a good wife. Some of the guys at Sonika's work, when she told them how we're operating with the finances, they asked her, well, do you have any sisters that we can also have this good deal with? But money is sometimes an issue, so you need to address it. In that marriage course, we will definitely speak about that. I heard a story about a husband. He was fired from his job. He came home and he was depressed. He was like, his face was hanging. He was like, over. He was wanting to give up. He didn't know what to do anymore. And as the story goes, his wife ignored him and his negativity and his depressiveness. And she told him, honey, I believe in you. Honey, you're the best. You're going to do it. And then she seduced him. And when the guy got up there, he felt like the man. And he got up and he went out there, he got a job, and he got going again. Because somebody believed in him. Somebody looked at him and said, come on, you can do it. We must praise one another. We must encourage one another. Sonic and I, we do this. We encourage one another. To take our story a little bit further. Now, I was on my 10 years no women fast. And I would still now be without it, any women, if it was a 10-year thing. So praise God. But what happened was I went to this missions trip. I went to Turkey on the outreach, and we were praying lots. And so at the time, I was really hearing the voice of God so clearly. I mean, supernatural. I was just really hearing the voice of God. I wasn't distracted. I wasn't focusing on dating or anything. I was just me and God. And so I came back to South Africa. We had this camp. And at this camp, we were worshiping God like this evening, singing to the Lord. And then I saw a picture, like in my mind's eye. And it felt as if God is speaking to me. And I saw a picture of a staircase, and I saw a lady walking down the staircase, and then I saw her having on this beautiful gown, sparkly blue gown, and then I looked up in the picture, I saw Sonika, and I thought, no. So I sat down. What is God trying to tell me now? Now, I don't know if you believe that God speaks, but the Bible's full of it. He does speak. Sometimes we don't hear correctly, but I really felt that this was the God speaking to me. And so I was wondering, my master, now, was God telling me to invite Sonika to the next dance or what? I thought, well, why would God get involved with those things? And then later on, I was reminded that early in the week, I saw another picture in my mind's eye while I was praying. I saw a picture of a very thick cord, like a rope, very thick. And I wrote it down in my little book. And I realized that the color of that rope was exactly the same as the color of her dress while she was walking down the stairs. And then the Lord spoke to me and he told me, you see, that color represents a revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, I am the rope between you. I am the bond between you. I am the connection between you and Sonica. I have destined you to be together for my plans and for my purposes. I was, wow. So I said to the Lord, because we are going to a formal the next week, so I told the Lord, Lord, if Sonica comes with that same color dress, then I will know this is God. So I put it out there. I'm sure the angels were diving around like crazy, trying to sort this one out. And at that time, Sonica had already batted number 7, and so she knew that the next guy that's coming to her, she didn't know if this really, really, really is God, but she felt that the next one, she knew it was the season. And so, I'm going to continue that story in a moment. I just want to read a scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And that cord represents for me the unity between a man and a woman. It is amazing. It's beautiful. Okay, so the fifth one, and I'll end off with it, the story in a moment. The fifth one, which sort of undergirds, the final one that undergirds our lives, our marriage, is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now, Sonica, her mom told us since she was like 5 years old that she must pray for her husband. And she was a Christian from a young age. I wasn't. And so she has been praying for me all those years to get my life sorted out. But what I've also found is there was this student at the Tigerberg Medical Campus. I was a student pastor. And this one lady, she was one of the leaders in the groups. And she came to me over and over again. And she said, something's wrong. She can't connect with God. Something is not working. It's like there's this block between her and God. And she was one of the people that really had intimacy with God. And so we prayed for her over again and again and again until a third time, I think. And so I asked God, because I didn't know what's going on. I said, God, what is this? Why is she struggling so to connect with you? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, some guy is claiming her to be his wife. And it's not my will, and he's actually bringing like chains in her life, spiritually speaking. I know this sounds very deep, but that's how it works. And so we broke it. We spoke against it. We said, God, we cancel those prayers that are not of God. And then suddenly her life was changed around. And she could connect with God again. So don't pray. Don't claim somebody. You know, I'm speaking to the really deeply spiritual people here. Because some people do. I did. So don't do that. But prayer strengthens the glue between a man and a woman. I found that when you pray together, it actually brings you together. Suddenly you start understanding one another's positions concerning an argument. I see this unity between a man and a woman like nuclear power. You know, like protons and neutrons. When you split them, it's like incredible power that is released because of the bond between them. And I believe the same, that the more united a man and a woman is, the more effect, like nuclear effect, power it will have on the world. You know, a marriage that works today, really, really works today, it sort of stands out in the group. You know, it really does stand out. And God wants our marriages to work. But there's a partnership that happens, a threefold cord, that when you pray, it's like you open the door for a mediator to come in. It's like a third party coming into the relationship and saying, okay, whoa, shut up. You, whoa, hold back. Just be quiet for a moment. Let me help you guys. And that third party is Jesus. He's the mediator that comes in between. The one time I was to preach the Sunday morning, we went out the Saturday evening. We went out to a place, and I told Sonica that she must bring the keys of the house with her always. If something would go wrong with my keys, then... So we came back at home, 10 o'clock that night. I need to preach the next morning. I haven't really prepared. I really need to focus. So I come there, and my key is not on my... And it's my fault. You know, I took off my key, but I told her she must always have her keys on her. So now I want to explode. You know, I'm like really angry. I'm locked out of my house. I need to phone a locksmith now. It's going to cost me 500 rand. I'm really upset. And I knew that if I say anything now, I will destroy my wife. I will hurt her. Like, no, you know, nobody can hurt one another like your spouse can. Nobody can hurt you like your spouse can. I, as the husband, can destroy my wife in a moment, or I can build her up for a lifetime. For a lifetime. So I was thinking, I'm very angry. So if you were my neighbor, you would have seen some dude walking up and down in the street, praying for self-control, praying for mercy, praying for my mouth to be quiet, not to say something silly now. And then after a while, I calmed down, and then we sorted the things out, and everything is fine. But that moment of prayer helped me to get my emotions under control, because what happened when you're in a conflict situation, you're starting to, and you usually conflicts about really silly issues. Or like your marriage is, there's no conflict, eh? Only in mine, yes, sure. But praying is like the glue that binds a couple together. Very few people pray together. I found this. Very, very few married couples actually pray together. I believe it's one of the keys, the power of prayer. And then speaking to one another, just something before I end off. You know, when we got married, you know, as guys, you know, we not as trained as well as we should be, I guess. So you would find a situation of clothes lying on the ground or maybe a towel on the bed. Only like happened once, I think. But it was amazing because Sonica learned something about how to speak. And she's going to share next week about this. But she has learned the art of speaking in the correct way to me. She gets me to do things because she's so nice. So I remember when a few years ago, she would like call me, Andre, come and quickly look here. Then I know, oh, what I do. So I'm walking over to the bedroom, and she says, what is this? Then I said, no, I don't know. I told it to get into the cupboard. It didn't get into the cupboard. It should listen. So now we're laughing, and it's all, but I got the message. So I don't do it anymore. I've grown. But she will teach you ladies that as well. But when you work with your husband, only one thing at a time. Don't do 10, don't do 5, 1. And after 3 months, go back to that number 1 and work it through again. Because, you know, we need help. We need some support. But a nagging woman freaks a man out. I'm sure all the married people have found that. It freaks one out. So don't go there. Go pray, come back, and then talk gently. Okay, so just to finish off with our story. So I saw this picture of Sonica, and I saw this dress, and I asked God, I want Sonica to have that same dress on, same color dress on this coming Saturday. So Saturday came, and I looked at the dress. It didn't quite look the right color. It was just, but I think, hey, it's close enough. So that evening, I told her, about 22 minutes past 10 that evening, on the, what was it again, 1st of August, 98, I told her, Sonica, God spoke to me and told me that you are my wife. H. Never do that. Never do that. I told you, don't do this at home, don't do this at home. Because she felt like I'm boxing her in. We had a good relationship. We had a good friendship. She trusted me. But this was just too fast, too quick. So I had to back off a bit. what, 3 months. But it sorted out. Then after a while, it went on and it was sorted. Then she fell in love with me. I mean, you can't blame her, can you? As a joke, I know it's so vain to say something like that. But when I saw the photo of her dress under the right lighting, it was like 95% of that vision that I saw, of that picture that I saw in that evening at the camp. And the thing is, she was going to wear a black dress. And about an hour before the time, a friend of hers who lent her the dress came and said, "No, I've changed my mind. I want my dress back." And so the angels were working, and so she came with the right dress. And I knew, this is the one. This is the one. This is the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I want to get old with her, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to love her more 50 years from now than I do now, by the grace of God. But what I found is, and this is about the heavenly partnership, that if you and me partner with an almighty God who made us, who designed us, who knows how relationships work, and he can save you from yourself. I found that. God saves me from myself. When I get angry or irritated or selfish or all those things that destroys a relationship, God comes and he helps me to forgive and to be nice and to restore that love in my heart for my wife. It is supernatural. When Sonic and I, when we, about a year after we got married, when people ask her, "How's it going with the marriage and things?" She says, "Oh, it's amazing. It's wonderful." And they say, "Oh, you're just still in the honeymoon phase." And 4 years later, "How's it? Oh, it's still wonderful. It's still amazing. You know, and it's still wonderful and amazing. Even when you don't sleep so much at night with a little baby." A little bit harder to get in a romantic evening away. But it's still amazing because there's grace. There's help from above. You know, and that's the humility part. You know, it's like us guys, you know, we don't want to ask for directions. You know, we don't want to ask for help. But we should ask God to help us. God, help me. Help me to change. Help me to listen. Help me to be nice. Help me to love her. Each relationship differs. Each one is unique. You must find your own path. Allow God to lead you on this path. So the heavenly partnership is between a man and a woman and Jesus. When he comes and he becomes the center, then it's going to be a great marriage. A great marriage. Because God helps to bind you together, to forgive one another when the other one says something that's not right. Then God helps you to forgive. So that's the heavenly partnership. It takes a whole person to be married to another whole person to have a whole marriage. And the only one that can make us whole is Jesus. I know, I was messed up, really messed up. I'm not going to share it again, otherwise you're not going to listen to me. But God healed me. He restored me so that I can be a whole person. And he did the same with Sonica. And I want to encourage all of us, even those who are single, if you don't deal with the things in your life, if you carry the one thing from one relationship to the next relationship, those same issues will destroy that relationship. But if you bring it to God, he can heal you and set you free. So I want to encourage the singles. Today, you can start partnering with the Lord Jesus. Today. Say, "God, change me and prepare me for my spouse." And you can start praying for your spouse now already. And then for the couples, those who are in relationships, those who are married, I want to encourage you, get a dream. Get a dream for your loved one. See it. Don't look at what you're seeing now. Don't look at the beer pansy. See the vision of a muscular built guy. Huh? You never know, maybe. So I encourage you. Okay, worship guys, if you can come. We're just going to end off now. So there's five principles. The one is the power of purpose. Get purpose. Then the power of a promise. Get a promise. in the power of perfected praise, start praising one another. In the power of a partnership, make a decision today that we are a team and we're going to walk this road together, no matter what. And in the power of prayer, start praying together. Any which way, how you know, just keep it simple and say, Lord Jesus, we need your help. And I've seen it. I've seen marriages transformed. Okay, so a question. So, who wants a great marriage? Anybody? Great. Anybody on this side? Great marriages? Great marriages? Definitely. We all want. God designed us like that. So I want to encourage you to start walking this road. Allow a third party into the marriage and see how God changes your life. Are you guys ready? We're just going to end off with one song and then we're going to have coffee and cake. Oh, we're a bit late. Just one. Just the chorus. Just the chorus. We keep it simple. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father God, we thank you that you are the author of marriage. You are the author of the relationship between a man and a woman. You designed it, you made it, and you've destined us to have marriages that work, that truly work. And Lord, I pray this evening that you'll bring and give new hope to each one of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, for those who are single, Lord, I pray that you'll give them faith for the future, not to worry, not to doubt, not to wonder, but to trust you. And then, Lord God, I want to pray for every marriage represented here. God, I pray that you'll help each one, each couple. You, Lord, every relationship represented here, even though they might still be in baby shoes. Lord, we pray that you'd guide them along this road, that it may be and become a godly, great marriage. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'll give us a new dream for our spouse, oh God. A fresh dream to the glory of your name. Amen. Let's stand. We're just going to sing this chorus and then we're going to drink some coffee.